ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। We welcome all the devotees to the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today we are discussing from Canto 10, Chapter 13, Text Number 58. Tato arvak prati labdhaksha kaparetvad utthita krichradunmilya vaidrishtir आचष्टेदं सहात्मना ततोर्वाक् प्रतिलब्धाक्ष कपरेतवदुत्थित कृच्छ्रादुन्मिल्य वैदृष्टिर् आचष्टेदं सहात्मना ततोर्वाक् प्रतिलब्धाक्ष कपरेतवदुत्थित कृच्छ्रादुन्मिल्य वैदृष्टे आचष्टेदं सहात्मना। ततोर्वाक् प्रतिलब्धाक्ष कपरेतवदुत्थित कृच्छ्रादुन्मिल्य वैदृष्टिर् आचष्टेदं सहात्मना। माताजीस, वील रीड वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। ततः then arvak externally pratilabdha aksha having revived his consciousness kaha lord brahma paretavad just like a dead man utthitah stood up krichrad with great difficulty unmilya opening up why indeed drishtihi his eyes achashta he saw idam this universe sahatmana along with himself. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki char. Translation: Lord Brahma's external consciousness then revived and he stood up, just like a dead man coming back to life. Opening his eyes with great difficulty, he saw the universe along with himself. Purport: We actually do not die. At death, we are merely kept inert for some time, just as during sleep. At night, we sleep and all our activities stop. But as soon as we arise, our memory immediately returns and we think, Oh, where am I? What do I have to do? This is called suptothita nyaya. Suppose we die. Die means that we become inert for some time and then again begin our activities. This takes place life after life. According to our karma or activities and swabhava or nature by association. Now in the human life, if we prepare ourselves by beginning the activity of our spiritual life, we return to our real life and attain perfection. Otherwise, according to karma, swabhava, prakriti and so on, our varieties of life and activity continue. And so also do our birth and death. As explained by Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Mayar vashe jacho bheshe khache habo dubo bhai. My dear brothers, why? Are you being washed away by the waves of Maya? One should come to the spiritual platform and then one's activities will be permanent. Krita punya punja. This stage is attained after one accumulates the results of pious activities for many, many lives. Janma koti sukrutir na labhyate. The Krishna consciousness movement wants to stop koti janma, repeated birth and death. In one birth, one should rectify everything and come to permanent life. This is Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I would like to seek the blessings of all the devotees assembled here so that we can speak from the Srimad Bhagavatam in such a way that we purify ourselves. Also, I am informed that His Holiness Kadam Kanan Maharaj is there in the temple premises. I think he's taking rest or something, so I seek his blessings also before beginning to speak on this verse today. So we are seeing, we have been hearing for all this time a very wonderful event that has happened in the history of this world. The way things go, if somebody is the owner of a factory, no matter what happens, the things that happen within the premises of that factory will never bewilder him, because through his administrators, managers, different people who report to the factory owner, to the person who takes care of everything here, almost one can say directly or indirectly everything within that premises is known to him. For instance, if somebody is the head of a school, let's say, so one can understand that physically he may not be able to go from room to room and from the library to the administration block to the canteen and everything else, but the different department heads will report to him. The library head will report to him, the principal, the dean, the head, whoever he is. And in this way, one can say that indirectly, at least he knows everything that is happening within those premises, is it not? But here we see somebody who is the first created living being. He is the first person who is created in this universe. He is the four-headed Lord Brahma. Not an ordinary living entity. In fact, one of the ways in which Lord Brahma is addressed is Aja. Aja means he does not take birth. He does not take birth in the usual way. Usually a child takes birth from a mother's womb after contact with the father. But Lord Brahma is born from the lotus that springs out from the navel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself without the intervention of Lakshmi Devi. So very special birth, very special bodily features, very special intelligence. He is empowered with all the knowledge that is required to create this entire universe with all its infinite variety. Everything that you see in this world has been created by Lord Brahma. So what is the level of his intelligence? What is the level of the blessings that he has of the Supreme Lord? One would not expect such a person to ever come across any kind of confusion, is it not? But the Srimad Bhagavatam is there to help us come out of any misgivings, any misunderstandings that we may have. If you think that just by the accumulation of knowledge, just by your high position, you are beyond illusion, you are beyond bewilderment, there will be no confusion ever. No, Srimad Bhagavatam points out such incidences where even such personalities have fallen to illusion. So today it is described that when this whole incident took place and when Brahmaji slowly regained his understanding, the proper understanding, it was as if a dead man was coming back to life. And Prabhupada has taken in his purport a comparison of how real life begins on the spiritual platform and then the activities are permanent. Now in the human life, if we prepare ourselves by beginning the activity of our spiritual life, we return to a real life and attain perfection. The current season is winter season. And one look around and we can understand by the low count of devotees that come for the class. It's difficult for people to wake up early in the morning in these days. These are the times when, you prolong your rest in the morning. It's comfortable to take more rest. So although we like to sleep, although we like to take more rest, anybody of us would want that. But we should all understand that waking up is something which is very important for us. Yes, in our own hearts we may like to take extra rest and like that, but waking up has a special significance. When we wake up, then we see the real world. When we are sleeping, when we have our eyes closed, we may have visions, we may have dreams. But those dreams are not reality. We may see different personalities and we may see different things happening in our dreams. But are they reality? No, they are not reality. Reality starts when we wake up. That is the time when we get exposed to the real world, when we get exposed to the real people. Yes? It means the more we are accustomed to the pleasurable situation of our sleep, we can say that the more we will also be have to be exposed to non-reality, illusion. And think of the last time when somebody told you, yesterday night in my sleep, I had a very nice, sweet dream. Mostly, whenever people have come to me with their eyes dazy, and you know they are just rubbing their eyes and they say, actually I had a big nightmare yesterday. Usually I have heard of people talking about their dreams only in the negative sense. So it was a very bad dream. It was a nightmare. I never wish that such a thing happened. Very few times, I don't remember the last time somebody came to me and said, I had a very wonderful dream, Prabhu. Yesterday, you know, this thing happened and that thing happened. How I wish it comes to reality. Usually, illusion leads to fright. Usually, illusion is very nightmarish. Is it not? Reality is something that is, that may not be pleasurable, that may not be sweet, but there is certain importance to being in touch with reality. Although we might want to escape reality for some of the problems that we face in reality, but we should understand that most of the dreams that we have are usually nightmares, and we don't want nightmares. We don't want illusion. So when we wake up from our sleep, when we wake up from our dreams, in a smaller sense, we come to reality. But from the spiritual sense, from a larger picture, actually we live one dream at night and we live another dream in the daytime. Is it not? Why? Because the relationships that we base our day life on are also imaginary. Most of the activities, most of the relationships, most of the dealings that we have in the daytime are also based on the concept of I am this body and all, everything that in relation to this body is mine. So that also is a much bigger dream. So we wake up from one dream to go into another dream, and then we escape the day dream to enter the night dream. There's different varieties of dreams, but it's all a dream. But here, this incident is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam because Brahmaji woke up from his night dream, day dream, every dream to the highest reality. What is that highest reality? Highest reality is he realized who is the Supreme Lord. How am I always dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord? In the coming two shlokas, it is described how, I'll just read the translation, I'll not read the purport. The next shloka says, then, looking in all directions, Lord Brahma immediately saw Vrindavan before him, filled with trees which were the means of livelihood for the inhabitants and which were equally pleasing in all seasons. Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord, where there is no hunger, anger or thirst. Though naturally inimical, both human beings and fierce animals live there together in transcendental friendship. So after waking up, which is being described in today's verse, Brahmaji will see Vrindavan for what it is. He will see the trees, he'll see the tigers, he'll see the deer, he'll see human beings, but he'll see them in the true understanding of how they are all in relationship to the Supreme Lord. That special place of Vrindavan is different from the rest of the world. So that is true vision, that is the highest vision. Until now, Brahmaji, with all his superior intelligence, was actually seeing Vrindavan. He was seeing the friends, the cowherd boyfriends, the cows, the calves, the animals of Vrindavan. But he was not seeing them in reality. He was seeing their ordinary. So Brahmaji is waking up to the highest reality is something worth mentioning, worth discussing, and that's why it finds its place in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And actually that is our aspiration. We, yes, in one sense, we want to wake up early in the morning every day. But actually what we want is waking up in this sense. Waking up to the highest spiritual reality. Yes? So Krishna says in the Gita, Naham Prakash Sarvasya Yoga Maya samavritah. Krishna says, I am not revealed to everyone. Na aham prakasha sarvasya. Actually, I am covered by a curtain of Maya. Now, everyone means Lord Brahma also, yes? So, Lord Brahma is also covered by curtain. That curtain may be a very thin one, and we'll discuss in the coming discussion some deeper understanding of how this curtain was formed and how somebody like Brahma also became bewildered. But in the present situation that we see, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Lord Himself, removes the curtain of Lord Brahma. When we sit here for the class, or sometimes when we might come here during the evening time, we might see a curtain here. When bhoga is offered to the Lord, they put a curtain, yes? And then everyone is waiting for the Lord to give darshan. And then at the proper time of the aarti, the pujari will come, he'll blow his conch and then he'll open the curtain. And then everyone is satisfied, then everyone is happy, is it not? Similarly, we should understand that all of us, with our eyes open, we have a subtle curtain in front of us that prevents us from seeing reality, and we need someone to open that curtain so that the beautiful forms, the beautiful original reality of Shri Radha Gopinath is revealed to us. In English there is a saying, says the higher they are, the harder they fall. Have you heard this saying? The bigger you are in position, greater is the chance that you might be affected by that position, by the powers, the facilities, the resources that come with the position. Yes? Is everyone here aware of a sport in Japan which is called sumo wrestling? Yes? The sumo wrestling means there are these big, huge, super heavy wrestlers, and they have enormous strength. In fact, one of the popular vehicles in India was also called that, just to signify the enormous amount of power that it had, the vehicle had. So this sumo wrestler, they weigh something like 250 kgs or something, huge. And when there's a wrestling match, you know, there's a battle of titans, as they say. You know, there are these two huge mountains fighting with each other. The trick here is not to employ your strength. Yes. How will you push somebody who is 200 or 250 kgs? The trick to win in the sumo wrestling match is to somehow or the other do something that will make that person fall down. And because of his own enormous weight, it takes an enormous amount of time for that person to get up from his condition. Yes. So the whole thing is not to push him, not to fight with him. The whole thing is somehow or the other find out a weak spot and trick him, trick the other opponent and put him to rest. And then it takes him almost like 10-15 minutes to slowly get up. And that is the time when you win. If you see that, here in this case, you know, Lord Brahma is such one great personality. So, what does Lord Krishna do? Lord Krishna does not use something great to bewilder Lord Brahma. What does he do? He does just simple things. From one perspective, it's not something very abnormal. What does he do? When his cowherd boyfriend's cows, calves are stolen, Krishna just immediately creates another set. This is a simple setting of a village. In that village, if Krishna does something very abnormal, it will be difficult for others also to understand, and Brahmaji will, you know, probably get attracted to the power of Krishna. But Krishna in Vrindavan is a sweet little cowherd boy. Somebody was mentioning, I think it was His Holiness Radhanand Maharaj, but he pointed out that in all the different battles that Krishna had with demons in Vrindavan, he never used a weapon. In Mathura, in Dwarka, he used a Sudarshan Chakra. Shishupal, he cut off with Sudarshan Chakra. But in Vrindavan, all the demons were killed with his hands, legs and like that. It's a simple way. Why? Because others are watching. So in one perspective, one sees that Krishna choked Trinavarta. Krishna, with his own hands, sucked or pressed Putana. But from another perspective, it seems very normal.
that, you know, he did with his hands. If he would have used a Sudarshan Chakra, if he would have used any other weapon, then one understands the superiority of Krishna. But then Krishna wants to hide his superior power in Vrindavan. So, in one sense, he did not do anything great. When Brahmaji came back, he saw all his friends, he saw all the cows and calves just as they were. Now you and me know the inner facts. The inner facts were that the original set was not there. Brahmaji had stolen. So if we know the background, then we understand Krishna's superiority, that how could he recreate an entire set of cows, calves and cowherd boyfriends. Their hair was just the same. Their clothes were just the same. The spots on the cows and the calves at the different places were just the same. But imagine a simple Brajvasi. He saw Krishna with his friends and calves going to the pasture ground in the morning, and that day the incident happened. So Brahmaji stole, and for one whole year, the duplicate, the other set of cows, calves and cowherd boyfriends were moving around in Vrindavan. Nobody understood anything. So actually, you see, he does it in a very simple way. All the Vrajvasis never had even the tiniest inkling. They did not even have the tiniest doubt in their mind, no apprehension at all, that these are not our original children. These cows, these calves are not the original cows and calves that we had. It was done in a very simple but amazing way. And why it is simple? Because nobody could understand it. And amazing because you and me, because of the Srimad Bhagavatam description, know the background. Brahmaji also knows the background because he did it himself. But all the Vrajvasis, they didn't understand. Even Brahma, Lord Balaram did not understand till the last moment how Krishna could do all that. So that is Krishna's attachment to Vrindavan. He never ever wants to spoil the sweet mood of Vrindavan. Never by his majesty. And Brahmaji's eyes were opened by this simple but amazing act in an amazing way. Brahmaji, from his high position and his high pride, fell down so hard. His ego was completely purified. He woke up to reality. Prabhupada is saying, like a dead man coming back to life. Actually, there is a rule of demigods. The devatas, the rule that they follow is, they never touch the ground on earthly planets. It's supposed to be low, supposed to be lower than their position. But after all these prayers were chanted, now after some time, in the next chapter, 14th chapter, Lord Brahma speaks prayers. So before that, Lord Brahma, giving up his high exalted position as the leader of all the demigods, he's not just any other demigod, he's the leader of the demigods, actually touches the ground. For what? He touches the ground to offer his obeisances to Krishna by touching his all four heads with their helmets to the ground. Yes? So the rule is, the demigods don't even touch their feet to the ground. And what is Lord Brahma doing? He does not even touch his feet. He touches his head. Not only one head, he touches all the four heads with the helmet that he has, just to signify, I have understood the reality. I have understood my position. Please don't bewilder me anymore. With your simple peacock feather and with your simple one mala, it has become too much for me. I misunderstood you. Yes? So that indicates he gave up the prestige of being a very powerful demigod. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one very beautiful verse that we can use in reference to the present situation. So this is Mother Devahuti who is speaking to Lord Kapila, and she says something. Yes? So she says, Bhukta bhoga parityakta drishta dosha cha nityashah na ishvarasya ashubham dhatte sve mahimni sthitasya cha. I'll read the translation as it is. By discovering the faultiness of his desiring to lord it over material nature, and by therefore giving it up, the living entity becomes independent and stands in his own glory. Sve mahimni sthitasya cha. So very, very simple Sanskrit. Bhukta bhoga parityakta. Whatever I have enjoyed till now and whatever I have a desire to enjoy till now, parityakta, I give it up. Why? Drishta dosha cha nityashah. Because I have developed vision for the dosha the fault in doing so. Na Ishwarasya Ashubham Datte. In this way, the Ishwara, the living entity, Na Ashubham Datte, he does not invite inauspiciousness in his life. In fact, Sve Mahimni Sthitasya Cha. Mahima is a normal Hindi word. Sve Mahimni Sthitasya Cha means, after this, a living entity is situated in his own glory. What do we need to do if we want to situate ourselves in our own original glorious spiritual position? See the fault in trying to be a controller of the resources of this world, trying to lord it over material nature. Once we see the fault in doing so, we'll give it up. And once we give it up, we automatically become situated in the supreme glorious position that originally belongs to us. If you see, when we want to rise higher and higher in this world with a disconnection from Krishna, we are inviting dependence on material resources. Because when we are disconnected from Krishna, all we have to our disposal is the material world with all its different things available to us. It means the more we want to rise higher in our position, we are increasing our dependence on material resources. What is the other way around? The other way around is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So a devotee who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord, whatever is necessary for him, whatever he needs, will be supplied by the Supreme Lord. In this way, by increasing the dependence on the Supreme Lord, one decreases his dependence on material resources. Why? In the first case, I have to gather different things from this world. I have to form alliances with powerful people of this world, because I also want to rise high in power. I want to become a famous person. I want money. I want to do this. I want to do that. So I become dependent on people of this world. I become dependent on the resources of this world. I become dependent on everything that is there of this world. But somebody who seeks shelter of the Supreme Lord, he is no longer dependent on the things, the people, the position, the influence of this world. In fact, he chooses to become more and more dependent on the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord can supply him whatever he wants, whenever he wants. In fact, real dependence or real helplessness of the living entity starts at the point of contact with material nature. As soon as the living entity falls from the spiritual world to the material world, that is the start of his helplessness. When we come to the process of bhakti and when we are told the do's and the don'ts of bhakti, sometimes we feel, actually before coming to bhakti I was independent. I could eat whatever I want. I could do whatever I want. I could go to places wherever I wanted to. Now after coming to the process of bhakti, there are so many restrictions about eating only prasad, not visiting certain places which have a contaminating influence. So in the initial period, with an immature understanding, one can feel, I was independent before I became a devotee, and actually I am losing my independence after coming to devotional service. But that is not so. Just think about it. Yes, you were independent to eat whatever you wanted. Yes, you were independent to choose whatever friends you wanted to. You are independent to read whatever book you wanted to. But I'll give you some other perspective also. Were you also independent to choose that diseases would not come to you? If somebody goes and eats something contaminated here, Chowpatty is a very famous place for eating very different food stuff. But after you eat whatever you want, can you also choose the health condition that you want? So the independence that you had was a limited independence. You could only go and choose what food I will eat, but what happens after eating that food is not your independence. Which diseases come to you is not your independence. You have independence to choose your friends, but how those friends will treat you, whether they betray you or whether they actually do good to you, that independence you do not have. For that you are dependent on them. And when you come to devotional service, when you come to the shelter of the Supreme Lord, you voluntarily accept some dependence. I will not read books that have no connection with Krishna, that will not inspire me in Krishna consciousness. I will not sing songs that do not have any connection with Krishna. I will sing beautiful bhajans that have been composed by the acharyas. Yes, so I am losing a little bit of my independence. But what happens when I do that? The result of reading the Bhagavatam, fully predictable. The result of reading the Bhagavatam is develop happiness, develop tushti, pushti, kshudapaya. You become satisfied, you become purified, you become happy. The result of choosing your association only with devotees, fully guaranteed. There will be no betrayal. Devotees are only there to uplift you, help you, elevate you. Now sometimes it happens in a way that is not pleasurable. But nevertheless, we should understand that it's always for our benefit. It is always for our upliftment. Yes? So just see, in the outside world, we had some independence from our part, but there was total dependence on the reaction part. We don't know what will happen to us once we do our independent activity. But in spiritual life, we do dependent activity. We will eat only prasad. We'll sing songs only related to Krishna. We sang Damodar Ashtakam now. And there is total independence as far as the reaction comes. We know what is going to come. We are totally independent. We don't have any doubts. We don't have any confusion about what will happen to us the more we advance in spiritual life. But in material life, the more we advance, we actually do not know what will happen to us. A rich man cannot guarantee, the more I become rich, the more powerful I'll become. Why? There is a sense of power, but there are always others who want to usurp your power. For every king who sits on the throne, there are at least 10 ministers who are trying to replace him in their own minds every single day, every single morning. Yes? They are saying, if only I would have sat on his throne. So let me think of some way by which I can dethrone him. For every capitalist that rules over a company, there are at least 5 or 6 of his managing directors who are always conspiring against him and thinking, how to take him out and how can I sit there? Srila Prabhupada one time went to Japan for talking with one of the printers there for one of his books, and they had a meeting of the top people there. So after the meeting ended, most of them left, and there was one person of that board still sitting there. So one of the disciples or Prabhupada, they asked him, so what is your name and what do you want to do in life? Because now the meeting is over and Prabhupada is trying to see a chance to talk to him about spiritual subject matter. So this person, he takes out his visiting card, keeps it on the table. And before the meeting had started, there were at least 4 or 5 people, they had also taken out their visiting cards and kept them on the table. So this person, he can't speak English, I think. So he takes all the visiting cards, yes, that belong to his colleagues in the meeting. Then he has his visiting card here. He collects all of them here as a stack in this, and then he puts his visiting card on top of this visiting card. Yes? So Prabhupada had asked him, what is the goal of your life? Thinking that he'll say something and Prabhupada will get a chance to speak the Gita to him. But what is the goal of his life? The goal of his life is to rise higher than all his colleagues. Yes? So for the meeting, they are sitting in a very amiable way. They are sitting in a very cooperative way. But what is there in everyone's heart? How he can go above them. Yes? So we have a choice. Do we want to struggle for a few drops of pleasure in this world and not know what to expect? Or we choose to lose a little of our independence to advance in spiritual life and be fully assured of what is coming our way post doing that. Yes? When we were discussing how yoga maya samavritaha, it applies to everyone, yes? But especially when a devotee starts thinking that I am the doer, I am the person who is controlling, in that case, Krishna personally will remove the curtain. Krishna personally wants to help his devotee. One very small incident that I would like to mention is during the last days of Srila Prabhupada's life, Prabhupada took the last preaching trip to London, and he had very bad health at that time. It is said that the only solace that he had at that time was the preaching reports that would come from different places. So people would mention how many books are being distributed and so on. So at that time there was one very special devotee called Ghanshyam Prabhu. This Ghanshyam Prabhu was originally an American, but seeing how much Prabhupada wanted his books to be distributed, he took to the communist countries in Eastern Europe. So Eastern Europe was full of communism, and one of the ethics in communism is that there is no God. So anybody who preaches about any God is a criminal. But this Ghanshyam Prabhu took to himself the very special, difficult task of distributing Prabhupada's books in this Eastern Bloc, the communist countries. And he had amazing way of distributing. He would distribute books after books. And His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who was at that time the personal secretary of Srila Prabhupada, would mention how Prabhupada would be sick, Prabhupada would be completely tired, exhausted during the whole day. And when at some time a letter would come from Ghanshyam Prabhu, Tamal Krishna Maharaj would read out the letter. And Prabhupada would light up. There would be life in Prabhupada's eyes. Just hearing how in this country, in this library, so many books are distributed, in this library, so many books are distributed. So at one point of time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj thought that what if this Ghanshyam Prabhu comes and personally speaks to Prabhupada? So one time he let Ghanshyam Prabhu know that Prabhupada is here in London, he is not in US, he is not in India, so why don't you come personally? So Ghanshyam Prabhu drove all the way from one of those countries in the Eastern Europe to UK to London, and he carried his report and he gave it to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, no, today you read it to Prabhupada. You are the one who's distributing. Usually I read and, you know, actually the credit goes to you. So Prabhupada is sleeping on his bed, he's very ill, he's not having much strength, and Ghanshyam Prabhu comes and he starts reading out the report of how such an amazing book distribution is happening in Europe. And somewhere in the middle, as Ghanshyam Prabhu is reading those amazing sweet reports, Srila Prabhupada suddenly interrupts and says, you are not the doer. So Ghanshyam Prabhu is startled because that whole report is not even over yet. But then he understands, why did Prabhupada interrupt him? Because as he would hear from Tamal Krishna Maharaj about the appreciation that Prabhupada had for his reports, of how that was the only thing that would enliven Prabhupada in those days, Ghanshyam Prabhu is thinking that probably, you know, this is nice that I am doing so much. I am doing distributing so many books. And especially at this time, when he is reading that report of his own book distribution to Prabhupada, his own spiritual master himself. Just imagine the pleasure that you would receive when you know that the spiritual master is becoming more and more happy. So just to remind Ghanshyam Prabhu of his original position, you are not the doer. And then when Ghanshyam Prabhu looked at Prabhupada, Prabhupada looked totally disinterested in hearing that report further. So here was Ghanshyam Prabhu who had heard from Prabhupada's secretary that it was very nice and it was very pleasing to Prabhupada, and here he was reading the report and he was feeling more and more happy that he is making the spiritual master happy. But in the middle of all that, Prabhupada broke that sweetness, and when Ghanshyam Prabhu looked at him, there was no smile, there was no brightness on Prabhupada's face, because maybe Prabhupada wanted to prove a very strong point that even though you are distributing so many books, actually you are not the doer. It is Krishna who is empowering you. It is the spiritual master's grace that is empowering us to do amazing things. So Brahmaji is such an amazing person, he is such a big creator. But somewhere, this feeling that I am such an important person can creep in. Yes? And Krishna says that he'll pierce that. Yes? He does not like that pride. This Ghanshyam Prabhu, after that sweet feeling was interrupted by his own spiritual master Srila Prabhupada, what happened to him later? This Ghanshyam Prabhu in the today's world is known as His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Swami Maharaj. Yes? So His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Swami Maharaj has written so many amazing books and has inspired so many thousands of devotees and is such an amazing preacher. Now he is no longer with us in this world. He has left this world. But one of the greatest leaders of our movement, yes, In the previous verse, what did we discuss? He says, Na Ishwarasya Ashubham Datte Sve Mahimni Sthitasya Cha. Is it not? A living entity is situated in his own glory. Similarly, when this illusion was broken, I am not the doer. Krishna is the doer. The spiritual master is the empowerer. Sve Mahimni Sthitasya Cha. His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Maharaj is so glorious. But the foundation of it was the highest pleasurable activity to the spiritual master. The spiritual master took away the pleasure from there and said, you are not the doer. Yes? But it is very difficult for us to understand how the great amazing services, not the outside activities that we do, but even within the realm of devotional service, all the amazing things that we do, I am not a doer. To understand this is very difficult. So how do we understand this? We discussed the shloka, Naham Prakasha Sarvasi. Yes? Krishna is not revealed to everyone. Which are the standard places where you will go to get information about Krishna? Will I go to the scriptures? Will I go to the Bhagavatam? Will I go to the different scriptures that are there to get information about Krishna? If Krishna is saying, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya. Well, in the Brahma Samhita, Krishna also says, Lord Brahma says, Vedeshu Durlabham. He says, actually even if one reads all the Vedas, it is very durlabh, it is very difficult to understand who I am. Why? Because the Vedas contain all branches of knowledge. Now within all that to find Krishna, within all that to find a clear conception of Krishna is very difficult. So to answer, immediately it is mentioned, Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau. Yes, Krishna is very difficult to be understood by reading the vast variety of Vedic literature. But simultaneously, in the next very line it is mentioned, Adurlabham. It is not very difficult to know Krishna if one approaches his devotees. But what can Lord Brahma do? Lord Brahma is that person who received knowledge directly from the Supreme Lord. Yes? He did not have any bhakta. He did not have any devotee to help him. He did not have any guide to guide him around. He is the highest. He is the one who had a direct revelation from the Supreme Lord in his heart. So such a person, just imagine his precarious position. From one perspective, Brahmaji's position is such a glorious position that he is born directly from the navel of the Supreme Lord. There is nobody above him, is it not? Yes? We would want that. The immature understanding is, if only I rise to such a high position where I do not have to report to anybody, I do not have to submit to anybody, everyone submits to me. Let me become the real Prabhu. Yes, let everyone understand their position of Das and Dasi properly. Yes? Here is Lord Brahma who is actually, there is no one higher than him except the Supreme Lord. And for every one of us, there is a spiritual master in between. Yes? And then there is Krishna also. So there is a Supreme Lord and there is a spiritual master who is a supreme devotee of the Lord. We have two masters to report to, minimum. Now Lord Brahma is bereft of this supreme auspicious position of reporting to minimum two masters. Yes? We would not want to report to two masters. We would not want to report to even one master. It's forced on us. You have at least one spiritual master, initiating spiritual master, many Shiksha Gurus if possible, and one Supreme Lord. Yes, is it not? But Lord Brahma does not have a spiritual master. His spiritual master is the Supreme Lord himself. Actually, in the second canto, 6th chapter, 34th verse, there is one very beautiful verse that Lord Brahma speaks to Narad Muni. I'll read the translation. I have the shloka here, but I'll read the translation. Okay, I have noted down in point form. The shloka is, Na Bharati me mrushopi lakshate. Lord Brahma is telling Narad, my language, my words never prove false. This is the second canto. And now what we are discussing is the 10th canto. So before that he is speaking that, yes, at the beginning of creation is speaking like that. Na Bharati me mrishopalakshate, na vai kvachin me manaso mrisha bhavati. My mind never goes in the false direction. My words are never proved false. Na me Rishikani patanti asatpate. And my Rishika, my senses, never ever go in the wrong direction. Why? Why is it so? He is telling Narad Muni. Yanme ridaut kanthya vatadhrito hari. So he is saying, whatever I say has never proved to have been false. The progress of my mind is never deterred. My senses are never degraded by temporary attachment to matter. Why? Because I have caught hold of the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead with great zeal, with great enthusiasm. Bhagwan ke charano ko pakad ke aise achche se rakha hai ki mere se kabhi koi galti hoti hi nahi hai. Lord Brahma has mentioned in the second. Yes? Seems just catching hold of the Supreme Lord's lotus feet is not enough. Because after that, in the 10th canto, here he is. You know, his words have been proved false. His senses have gone in another direction. His mind and intelligence is totally reeling. He's trying to understand how to understand this. How to understand who is Krishna. Yes? But he just mentioned that. So that's why I'm discussing this shloka. Why? Because we have two masters. And sometimes in our rebellious nature, we want to get rid of those two masters. Yes? And if we have more masters, how miserable is our position? So, how many people should I report to? Why can't I be independent? Yes? Well, Lord Brahma is supremely independent. He directly reports to the Supreme Lord. There is nobody in between. But what is his precarious situation? His precarious situation is, even though he is such a person, he is so close to the Lord, even he falls into illusion. Why? There is no one to help him. There is no one to guide him. What was his hope? His hope was, when he saw Krishna drinking the buttermilk from his friend's mouth. Yes, Krishna did that. One of his friends had buttermilk like this. And then Krishna punched his cheeks and that buttermilk was swallowed by Krishna. That just blew Lord Brahma's understanding to bits and pieces. So to actually understand what is the reality, you know what was his hope? His hope was, he should have asked some of the devotees there. He should have asked somebody there. I don't understand. At the beginning of the 10th canto, it is mentioned how Bhumi Devi is oppressed by the kings. And she goes to the demigods seeking help. The demigods go to Lord Brahma and they say, Bhumi Devi is in a big problem, what should we do? So Lord Brahma leads all the demigods and Bhumi Devi to the Kshirodakshayi ocean where Lord Vishnu stays. There they present their case, they meditate on the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord, who is not to be seen, who is somewhere inside there in the Kshirasagar, reveals to Lord Brahma in the heart, don't worry, very soon I will manifest in the Yadu dynasty. To whom is it revealed? Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma receives that instruction of the Supreme Lord in his heart, and then Lord Brahma speaks it out to all the demigods. So who received the news of the Supreme Lord appearing in the Yadu dynasty first? Lord Brahma. Is it that Lord Brahma did not know the small child appeared in the Yadu dynasty is Krishna? Kshirasagar, Lord Krishna revealed in his heart only. Through Brahma he instructed all the demigods. So Lord Brahma knew that. But what bewildered Lord Brahma is, that same Supreme Lord whom I could not even see, who revealed the message in my heart, how is he eating the jhuta buttermilk of his friends? It's just too much. He should have sought help of some other devotee. He should have asked some devotee. What did he do? He did totally the reverse. You know what he did? Those devotees who were his hope to understand Krishna better, he stole them away. He put them to yoga nidra, he put them to mystic sleep and took them away, wanting to test the power of Krishna, wanting to test. Are somebody, the Supreme Lord had told me on the shore of Kshirodakshayi ocean that I will come in the Yadu dynasty, and here is that child that has come in the Yadu dynasty, but by his activities, by his appearance, by his dealings, he does not appear to be that same Supreme Lord. The demigods don't get darshan of the Supreme Lord there. I had to meditate and it was revealed to me in my heart. And here all these simple cowherd boyfriends, they are sharing the laddus and the kachoris and the samosas and buttermilk just like this. He should have asked somebody. But what did he do? He took the matter in his own hands. He stole the same devotees who could have helped him understand who Krishna is. It is mentioned that somebody else also did this with Lord Krishna. Some other powerful demigod also tested Krishna. Who is that? Yes. Just 2 days back we celebrated Govardhan Puja. After Indra understood what the situation is, after Indra's pride was crushed, Lord Krishna told him why he did that. He said, I did this to crush your pride. I don't like pride and like that. Yes. But after Lord Brahma offers his prayers to Krishna, it is mentioned Krishna did not even speak a single word to Lord Brahma. Brahmaji offers beautiful prayers in the 14th chapter. Krishna just looks at him. Lord Brahma understands. Ho gaya. I chanted my prayers. Goes away. If you read the Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna does not speak a single word to Lord Brahma after this incident. Why? What is the result of Indra's nuisance activity? Yes, he created a nuisance. He created a big scene there. He showered the simple Vrindavan with Samvartaka clouds. He tried to drown Vrindavan. But what was the result? The result was all the Vrajvasis, the cows, the calves, the gopis, the gopas and everyone came together. Krishna got the association of his devotees for 7 days and seven nights very closely, something that would not happen in other situations. Yes? So yes, it is inherently nuisance, but the result of that was Krishna and the devotees experienced pleasure. But the result of the nuisance of Lord Brahma was that Krishna was separated from his devotees. So Krishna was so angry with Lord Brahma, he did not even speak a single word with Lord Brahma. Yes? So, we have to understand that actually from one perspective, the higher we are, the harder we'll fall. The bigger is our position, there is always a chance that it's more precarious to be there. But actually if you go deep, then we understand it's not a question of higher or lower position. Because by that logic, no one of us should accept any responsibility to serve Krishna, to serve Srila Prabhupada, to serve the spiritual master. No. It's not a question of higher or lower position. It's a question of, do we have some shelter above us? Brahmaji has only the Supreme Lord above him. There is nobody else above him. And you and me are so fortunate that we have a huge, huge, huge umbrella of the devotees, of the spiritual master. If possible, more number of spiritual masters. And then also of the Supreme Lord. Yes, he is the shelter for everyone anyways. The atheists, the blasphemers, the Mayavadis, the non-believers, everyone. Yes, Krishna is anyways the shelter of everyone. He is the provider, Bhuta Brit. He is the maintainer of everyone. But you and me will be fortunate only when we increase our shelter, not only of the Supreme Lord, but of the spiritual master, not only one spiritual master, many instructing spiritual masters, not only many instructing spiritual masters, devotee friends, devotee peers, devotees on whom we can depend, devotees with whom we can have loving relationships. Brahmaji unfortunately did not have that. And even though it was he to whom the original message that Krishna will appear in the Yadu dynasty was revealed, when it actually came to reality, he was completely bewildered. So actually, from a spiritual perspective, the more number of devotees shelter we have, the more fortunate we are. Yes? So with these few thoughts, I would like to stop here. Thank you very much for your patient listening. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Chara.